Let's go ahead and turn back into your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We'll be looking at verses 3 and 4 today, and just our second part of looking at Timothy's charge. We're going to have this really a three-part message. When I get back from Canada, we'll be looking at verse 5 specifically and finishing up with this three-part series, in a sense, as far as Timothy's charge that Paul was given to him. And remember last week, obviously, we covered verses 2, and we're seeing where he needs to preach the word to be instant in season, out of season. It's one of our memory verse that we have for the month of November. And we talked about how it's not just a matter of Timothy's charge, but it's each one of us. It's our charge that God has given us to be able to preach the word. Falls in line, again, with our vision for this year. It's been coming through the books of Titus and 2 Timothy. We're talking about having sound doctrine and sound speech. Also, we have to have sound doctrine in our lives. We need to apply the truth of the Word of God in our lives so that we have the authority, really, and the ability to have sound speech, to be able to tell people the solid truth of the Word of God and how it applies to their life. And as Kurt was praying, talking about the spiritual conditioning that we've been talking about, or condition that we have. I mean, the spiritual weather report is not good, and we'll see that again more today in these two verses, verses 3 and 4, that it is not good, but it doesn't negate our responsibility to still have sound speech, to be able to tell the truth of the Word of God. As way of introduction, and again, I'm sure everyone has it memorized, because this is our first memory verse of the year that we had, but Titus chapter 1 and verse 9, where we see, again, part of the qualifications of a bishop, our pastor, it says there in that verse, holding fast the faithful word as he had been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. I mean, that's our vision verse for the year. That's why it's our first memory verse as well, because it really incorporates everything that we're talking about. Sound doctrine, sound speech. There are going to be people that are, again, deceived or not following the truth of the Word of God, and we need to be ready to show them from the Word of God the sound doctrine that is being laid out. So it's even more important, again, as we see part two of this charge that Timothy has from Paul, the need to be able to be ready to preach the Word, to be ready in season, out of season, all right? To reprove, to rebuke with all long-suffering doctrine, because, again, it is a tough time period that we live in before the coming of Christ. So let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get started on what we need to see out of these two verses today, and looking at the timing that we are having to deal with this, as well as people turning from the truth. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, I thank you and praise you for today. I thank you for this time we've had in the Word of God, from question and answer to just the time we can enjoy one another and the fellowship that we have. Lord, I pray that we continue to grow in our walk and relationship with you. I pray that we're able to grow in being able to reach others that are in our city and our community, and with the truth of the Word of God, trusting you for those open doors and building bridges and developing relationships, but again, to where we're able to share sound doctrine, Lord, and how the Word of God is applicable to everyone's life and all aspects of their life. Father, I pray that you help us to have open hearts and minds. Speak to us today. It really is a simple message. There's not really a lot to it in a sense, far as, you know, what we need to understand. It's a matter of being obedient to it. I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, I'm going to read from verse 1 for our 2 Timothy chapter 4, but again, verse 3 and 4 is what we're going to be looking at. It says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, and is appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. So as we look and start at verse 3 and looking at the timing, the time that we live in, as again, you just look back at chapter 3 and verse 1. I mean, Paul already warned that there is perilous times ahead for us. It says in chapter 3, verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And if we remember back to those messages, there's some 18 different things that Paul lays out how defines these perilous times, that in these last days, and how the characteristics of people and what they're going to do, well, concluding with having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And what we talked about there is the real power of godliness is dealing with our doctrine, the doctrine that God has laid out for us to be able to live by. And if you do not have that in your life, then you're denying the power. You have a form of godliness. Yes, you look like a Christian, smell like a Christian, you carry your Bible, whatever. You know, sometimes you pray, whatever, you listen to a message, but there's there's no depth, there's no reality to a walk in a relationship. And that's important because as you live as a Christian in this life, in this world that's against God, against the Word of God, there is going to be persecution. There is going to be suffering. We've seen that. Remember, 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That is going to happen. And if we're not grounded in sound doctrine, not only we run the risk of not being able to the use of God to share the truth of the Word of God, we ourselves can turn away from the truth. Again, you look at what it says here in verse 3, it says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That word endure is important. We've already seen it. I know I don't have this as a reference on your outline sheet, but just as I'm talking, the Lord's given me some things that we need to kind of look at. But if you just go back to chapter 2 of 2 Timothy and verse 3, chapter 2, verse 3, it says this, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Endure hardness. And it's in the context of another memory verse we had, 2 Timothy 2:2. We're talking about discipleship, talking about laying out the truth of the Word of God. You're going to go through some things. This is a warfare, spiritual warfare that we're going through, and we're going to have to endure some things, but there are some Christians that are not going to be able to endure sound doctrine. They have a lifestyle where, you know what, I don't want to deal with that. It's too hard to live according to the truth. And it's not, in a sense, it's just a matter of what you are determined to be able to do. God gives you the power, He gives you the Spirit of God, He obviously His very Word Himself, to be able to live the truth of the Word of God. But for whatever reason, it's like, you know what, they don't want to endure that. They don't want to endure sound doctrine. It's much easier just to have some nice little spiritual message and go about my life. To really dig into this, I want to go to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 14, I have it on your outline sheet, is dealing with the parable of a sower. And at this particular point, Jesus Christ is laying out and He's expounding or explaining what the parable of the sower is all about because, again, the disciples did not fully understand what He was talking about. And in this, you really see four different kinds of people that the Word of God is sown to and the results of dealing with that. In Mark chapter 4, again, starting in verse 14, it says this. The sower soweth the word. All right, that's the seed that he sowed. It's defined as the Word of God. In verse 15, it says, and these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. In other words, the sower sows. There's the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God by these ones that are by the wayside. And immediately Satan comes and takes that word that's sown out of their heart. So they never get to a place where they have a relationship with the Lord. They never get to a place where they will bear any kind of fruit to bring glory to God. They're kind of ones that they hear the Word of God, you know what, and they really kind of disregard it. Doesn't mean anything to them. So Satan makes sure that it's not going to take root, takes it away from them. But it's because their own heart is where they don't really have any concern or care about the truth of the Word of God. So they never really go and have a relationship with Him. He goes on, and let's look at the second one that he talks about. It says this in verse 16, and these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Now, there's a lot that goes into this one that's being talked about where the seed, the Word of God, is sown, and it's a stony ground, not able to take any root, so they're able to really grow. And so they're the ones that when they hear the Word of God, and it's like they quickly receive it with joy. Oh yeah, this is great. Oh yeah, you know, maybe they get saved, and oh man, I'm all about coming to church. I want to learn and grow in the Word of God, so they say, or whatever. But all of a sudden, it's like it doesn't happen. And because there's no root, because they're not grounded in the truth of the Word of God, when persecution, affliction arises, specifically it says, because of the Word, they're offended. They have nothing to do. They're not going to bear any fruit. And there are too many Christians that fall in that category, where the Word of God becomes something that is offensive to them. And this happens because when a persecution or bad times happen, they fall away. I describe it in a sense like a shooting star. So I was looking at some news and whatever, And this was, I forget where it was now that I'm saying this, but there was this camera view of the shooting star that was coming through that it was like a couple of nights ago or something like that. It was incredible to see. I mean, it like really lit up the sky until it faded out. That's what like these Christians are. You know, they receive the word on stony ground. It's like, man, they're so excited about everything, but they never get rooted and grounded in the word of God. And they're just like a shooting star as well. Big flash, oh wow, look how bright that is, and all of a sudden it fades out to nothing. Never to be seen again. Happens too many times. And the issue is, and the reason why they're not able to endure is because they never get rooted and grounded in the truth of the Word of God. And that's why around here, I say it a lot. It's not a matter of just getting saved, that's just the beginning. You have to be discipled. You have to be grounded and rooted in the Word of God. Because if not, when affliction comes, or when deception, like we've talked about as well, coming through 2 Timothy, when that happens, they just get led astray, or they stop because they're offended. They have no roots. They have no ground. They have no real foundation. They don't develop that foundation. And again, they bear no fruit. Let's continue on. We have seed that's the wayside, seed that is on a stony ground, and now we have seed that is among thorns. You pick it up in verse 18. It says, "And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things enter in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful." In other words, it sounds like they're in a place where they're starting to grow and the Word of God is starting to do some things to where they're able to start bearing some fruit, but then all the cares, the thorns, the cares and the things, the deceitfulness of this world choke it out and they become unfruitful. In other words, unfortunately, and we'll see a guy that specifically Paul calls out about this later in 2 Timothy chapter 4, where the world is more attractive. The love and the things of this world is more attractive than the Word of God, than the things of God, and they become unfruitful. And then there's the fourth part, one that I hope that all of us, this would be the case. You look at in verse 20. "And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. Even on that ground you have a variance of how much fruit is being brought forth, but they're bringing forth fruit because they hear it, they receive it, all right, and they start bearing fruit because it's a good ground. Have a good heart, all right. That's the kind of heart that we need to have, and it deals with what the issue is. What the Word of God, all right, and something that. Again, we live in a Christianity today where, again, the emphasis on understanding and learning and growing in the Word of God is not there. And it's no wonder you have Christians that fall by the wayside, that are choked out by the things of this world, or again, they don't endure. They get offended. So important to make sure, again, that we are grounded in sound doctrine. Because if not, again, we end up being unfruitful, and it's going to have consequences for us at the judgment seat of Christ. Now let's go back to 2 Timothy and continue on our look into verse 3. 2 Timothy chapter 4, again verse 3, it says this, "For the time will come," and the time is definitely here, "when they will not endure sound doctrine." I can't stand it. Nope, that's too much for me. Too much work. You know, it is. Too much work to really understand what the Word of God is saying. You know, it's too much work. But it says this, "But after their own lusts shall they keep to themselves teachers having itching ears." See, they have itching ears. In other words, they're going to find a bunch of teachers that is going to teach what satisfies them, that scratches the itch that they have. They determine what kind of relationship that they need to have with God, not based on the Word of God, but based on their comfort level. Right? They don't want to hear anything that goes against their lifestyle or what they've decided that they want to do. This is something that comes to mind real quick. I remember this from some years ago. You're, in a sense, spiritual as you want to be. Choice is yours. How you walk with the Lord and the time you spend in the Word of God, that is on you. Now, the Lord wants to have a great and deep lasting relationship with you that is going to bear fruit and bring Him glory. That's what the Lord desires. But He's not going to make us do it. The choice is ours. It's kind of like in karate. It's my choice of how much I want to train in karate. It is my choice of how I want to work, if I want to get more advanced than where I'm at. It's my choice in what I do. Now, again, in the karate world, it's not just going to be given to me. I got to earn it or whatever. But the choice is mine. I decide whether I'm going to do that or not. And like anything in your lives, you choose what you're going to do. Well, in your walk with the Lord, it's your choice. You chose to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now you also choose how much you're going to grow in that. Unfortunately, there's too many Christians that they're satisfied with going to heaven and that's it. Even though God gives us a manual and instructions and commandments of things that He is going to hold us accountable for. All right, it's not a Christianity in a sense like a buffet. You pick and choose what you think that the Lord's going to hold you accountable to. He holds us accountable to every command that He's given us that's written to us. The problem is we have Christians that we choose what we're going to follow. We end up deciding. Instead of being submitted to the authority of the Word of God, we become our own authority and decide what kind of walk we're going to have. You truly are as spiritual as you want to be. There's no limit in how far you can grow in your walk and relationship with the Lord. The Lord's not putting any limits on that. It's our decision of what we're going to do. All right, and you got these people that says here in this verse that they're going to keep teachers to themselves that's going to scratch their ears. I want to have a Christianity that's easy going. I want a Christianity maybe, you know, I come and my God, you better make sure that the message is only 20 minutes. You better make sure that I'm out at a certain time. You better make sure that, you know, that you're not going to say anything that's going to go against something that I kind of like to do. All right, that maybe I know the Word of God says this, but you know, well, you know, that's the Word of God is, you know, archaic or whatever. You know, I need something that's going to be a little bit more modern, you know, that understand the modern... Whatever it is. People come up with their spirituality. And then they're going to seek out teachers that are going to teach according to what they want to hear, as opposed to something that they don't want to hear. You look back in 1 Timothy real quick. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. It says this, "Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, from which some having swerved have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, nor whereof they affirm." They swerve, they turn. We'll talk about that obviously in our second point in verse 4. But they're the teachers of the law, having no understanding of really what they're talking about. And there are people that like to have it that way. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 17. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 17. Paul, again, talking to the Corinthians, the same idea. We're looking at they keep to themselves teachers, having itching ears. All right. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 17, it talks about, "For we are not as many which corrupt the Word of God, but as of God in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. For we are not as many which corrupt the Word of God." The same idea that they heap teachers to themselves, there are many out there that corrupt the Word of God for their own means. Again, to be able to have some big following or whatever, to be able to have money or whatever the case is, it's like just as you have people that want to heap to themselves teachers that are going to preach what they want, their lifestyle, whatever the case is, there is going to be a teacher for that. All right, there are many that corrupt the Word of God, but Paul says, "But as of God, but as of sincerity, you know, they're speaking according to the truth of the Word of God." But there's people, they don't want that. They turn their ears from that. I want to go back to Jeremiah, as this is nothing new. As Solomon says, there's no new thing under the sun. And we see the nation of Israel was taught and doing the same thing. I want you to go to Jeremiah chapter 5 in the Old Testament. Jeremiah chapter 5. I'm going to look at the last verse in that chapter. I'll start in verse 30, but 31. So Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 30 and 31. This is God, of course, coming down on Israel. Jeremiah is a prophet and dealing with the nation of Israel and dealing with getting ready to go into captivity because of their sin. And notice what it says here. Again, Jeremiah 5, starting in verse 30, it says, "A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land." And when we talk about wonderful, we use a sense just wonderful as being something, oh, that's a great thing. And we're talking about here, and it's like it's wonderful, the wonder of it all, and it's like, ah, shock that this is taking place, right? And that's why I think it's followed up by the word horrible, all right? This is not a good thing that's taking place. And notice what it says in verse 31. "The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means," what they want. "And notice this, and my people love to have it so." It says, "And what shall you do in the end thereof?" It's a question. In other words, you're not considering the end and the results of this kind of behavior, what it's going to cause. But it's like they prophesy falsely. The priests bear rule by their means, and the people love to have it that way. It is no different than what we're looking at in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3. People turning, not enduring sound doctrine, all right? But they heap to themselves after their own lust what's pleasing them. Teachers that are going to scratch their ears, what they want. They're going to preach exactly according to their lust. We're not talking about lost people here. We're talking about believers. They love to have it that way. They don't want the truth of the Word of God. Let's go to our second point. Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 4. That is interesting. If you remember your Bible numerology, number 4 in the Bible is the number of the world. And these are Christians that are being worldly. Again, they don't want the truth of the Word of God. They don't want sound doctrine. I'll read again from verse 3. It says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables." They don't want to hear it. When they hear an inkling of truth from the Word of God, they turn away from it. It's like it's hard for me to read this verse and not think of the baby that doesn't want his food. You know, I make that comment all the time. Who wants a combination of mushed up peas and carrots? I mean, it doesn't sound appetizing to me. And it's like you're trying to feed the baby and trying to get the food into their mouth, and you're trying to use all kinds of things to act like it's going to be good. You fake taste it, you know, to try to deceive them. Like, oh, this is tasting good, and you know it doesn't. That's why you do that, and you don't really put it in your mouth. You all know that. You know what I'm talking about. You know, and you have the little thing. Oh, it's the airplane. Open up the hangar. You try to do all these things, and what happens? That food ends up everywhere except for in the baby's mouth. No, don't want that. That is spiritually what's going on today. God wants to give His people the truth of the Word of God. And we're turning away our ears. Nope, don't want to hear. Can't hear me. I can't hear you. Don't tell me. Because we think if I don't hear it, then I'm not going to be held accountable for it. Don't work that way. That is spiritually what's going on right now. People don't want to hear the truth. I'm sure you've had it where people have problems in their life and they come to you and then all of a sudden you start telling them truth. And it's like, well, wait a minute. Wait, I didn't ask for all that. What they want is somebody to agree with them in their sin or agree with them in their problem or in their misery and not actually fix the problem. They want the teacher that's going to scratch their itching ears. They really don't want the truth. But it's the truth that's going to help them. They don't want it. Again, no different than what it was like God dealing with the nation of Israel. Go back to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter, interesting enough, 13. Number of rebellion. God warns the nation of Israel of dealing with somebody who comes and they're going to give some sign and some teaching that's going to actually lead them away from the truth of the Word of God and what Israel is supposed to do with them. And what Israel is supposed to do with them is not just let it go. Let's look at the first five verses of Deuteronomy chapter 13. It says this: "If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you, to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Now, I'm going to stop here before we move on. It's like a sign or a wonder. Being a proof of a dream that is talking about serving other gods. Now, here's the thing we've got to realize. Satan is also in the miracle business. Most people think, is this some sign or some wonder? Oh, this must be of God. No. Satan is a deceiver. You ever thought about this when the Lord sent the disciples out to heal people and do miracles and things like that? Who was with them? Judas Iscariot. That betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ, which is defined clearly in the Word of God as he was of Satan. Satan's able to do lying signs and wonders to deceive people. And God is warning the nation of Israel about this here. Just because there's some sign or some miracle doesn't mean it's of God. If it's going against the truth of the Word of God, you need to not pay attention to that. You need to get rid of that false teacher, that dreamer. Let's continue on. Again, it says this. We'll pick it up. From verse 3, it says, "Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you." He's going to see whether you're going to follow the truth of the Word of God or not. "To know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul," which is told them to do back in Deuteronomy chapter 6. In verse 4, it says, "Ye shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him." Now before I read verse 5, I mean, think about what it's saying here in verse 4. It's all about the Word of God. Sound doctrine. Not some lying sign and wonder, but sound doctrine. And we live in a Christianity today, I'm telling you, that people are more talking about some experience or some dream or something like that as opposed to what does the Word of God say. I have it happen. People talk to me and they say, "Oh, I had this dream. This dream about this, that, and the other. Happened not too terribly long ago, maybe a month ago." And then I turn around because the lady's like, "What do you think about that?" Well, I'm not going to deny your experience, but let me tell you what the Word of God says. That when this particular situation, when people die, they don't come back to visit people. The Bible doesn't talk and say that, you know, your grandmother or your father in this situation, that you come back. I said, according to what it says in 2 Corinthians, they're a believer in Christ, they are in heaven. All right? They're not coming back. All right? I said there's one exception in the Old Testament when you look at Samuel, but that's a different circumstance that's going on. I had to give her, this is what the Word of God says. But a lot of times people believe experience that they have over what does the Word of God say. That's the kind of world we live in. What do atheists like to say? Well, if God said this or came down and did this, then we'd believe in God. But I'm not going to believe in this fairy tale book that's been written by cavemen. It's no different. People do not want to hear sound doctrine. Now, let's finish this up here in Deuteronomy chapter 13 and verse 5. What does God say that you're supposed to do with this prophet? Verse 5. "And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has spoken to," notice, "turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in," the Word of God. "So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee." Now, obviously, in our day and age and dispensation, God is not telling us to go kill people that are teaching false prophets or false doctrine or whatever, that sort of thing. But what we need to do is make sure that we're not listening to them. We stick to the truth of the Word of God over some dreamer of dream or some experience or something like that. It continues to happen all the time. If that dream or that experience is something that's against the Word of God, then you do not listen to that dream or that false teaching or whatever. It's according to the truth of the Word of God. Sound doctrine. But as we go back to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 4, what are we seeing here? The spiritual condition and climate that we're in. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth. Turning. I don't want it. Confront it with the truth, go the other way. Have you ever had it at work, maybe? You got the person that, I know you're a Christian. And often they make the mistake of asking, hey, how was your weekend? And before you get ready to tell them something, which is going to be biblical, they turn away, oh, I really don't want to hear it. Has that ever happened to you? That's happened to me before in the past. Oh, I don't want to hear it. Turn their ears away from truth. And the reason why is because they don't want to be held accountable. That's what it comes down to. I want to live according to my lust. And if there's any spirituality that I'm going to have, I'm going to make sure I find a teacher that teaches exactly how I want to live. In this church, I am pushing to go beyond just being happy to come and, you know, listen to a message and that sort of thing. It's very clear in the Word of God that God has a purpose and a plan for us. He wants to use us to be able to reach others for Christ. And that means we've got to be prepared and got to be ready for it. That's what my desire is every week, is to be able to prepare you in the Word of God, not just to have head knowledge, but to be used of Him. But there are plenty of churches that their leadership don't mind. You come and, you know, listen to whatever they got to say, give your little giving and everything like that. And that's as far as they're ever going to hold you accountable to. And a lot of people like that. A lot of people like, you know, in a really, really big church, it's easy to hide. I can come in, get my little dose of spirituality and leave. Nobody's going to ask anything of me. And there's plenty of churches and plenty of preachers and teachers that will fulfill that need in your life. But it doesn't stop the accountability in the day that's coming when the Lord is going to have to give an account to the Lord about, hey, it says in my word here that this is what I want you to do and you didn't want to do it. Well, I really didn't know about it. Well, wait a minute. I had this person right here who's getting ready to tell you some of these things. And let's see what you did. Oh, you turned your ears away. And then you walked away. This, unfortunately, is where we're at. We're in 2 Timothy. Just go back to chapter 1, verse 15. And I'm really being and somewhat kind in going through this message. But I want you to fully understand what we're talking about here. Look at in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 15. Obviously we've already preached through this, but it says, Paul telling Timothy, this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia, they would call it Asia Minor, that area, be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. He names two people specifically, but he says, they turned away from me, from Paul. And again, Paul is the apostle of the Gentiles. It is Paul that God used to communicate the doctrine that we're going to be held accountable to. It is Paul that God used to give us an understanding of this dispensation of grace that is to us. And again, the doctrine that is associated with that, it's through Paul. So when he talks about that all being angels are turned away from him, it's not just turning away. Well, Paul, we're not going to be your friend anymore. Still following the truth, but we're not going to be your friend anymore. They're turning away from that sound doctrine. Don't want it anymore. And unfortunately, it happens too often today that people don't want to deal with according to the truth of the Word of God given to us. Look at Titus. Chapter 1 and verse 14. Titus chapter 1 and verse 14. Again, obviously we already preached this earlier this year. Titus 1 and verse 14. Not giving heed to Jewish fables. This is a command. Why? And commandments of men. Why? Don't give any heed to these things. Why? That turn from the truth. Do not heed things that are going to turn you from the truth of the Word of God. Now, as we finish up here, it's a question you got to ask yourself. One, first of all, we got to realize the spiritual climate that we're in. That there are going to be the times that we live in, people are not going to want to really hear the truth of the Word of God at all. All right, they're gonna turn away from it. They're gonna keep to themselves teachers that are gonna teach according to what their lifestyle is, that they don't want to change, what they're comfortable with. They want to go in church and be nice and comfortable. Don't teach. Don't tell me anything that's gonna get me out of my comfort zone. That's what I try to do every week for all of us. Get out of our comfort zone. Let's see what the Lord wants us to do. All right, but that's the climate that we have now. The thing that we also need to look at is this question. Are we going to turn to the Word of God in these times? Are we going to be like we've been talking about here for the last few minutes, turn away? Easy to turn away and just go with the flow of the rest of the Christian world today, which is like the world today. Easy to do that. But when the tough times happen and so forth, are we going to turn to the Word of God or turn away from it? That's something we've got to decide all the time. I remember a time when I lived in Canada and had a friend of ours from our church, that was our sending church down here, that he worked for Hallmark and he was on a business trip in Toronto. And so I was going to meet him downtown for dinner, and another guy that worked with me in our church up there that was from Kansas City, he was going to also hook up with us. So I'm taking, this is the first time I took the GO train, basically like Subway type situation. And so I'm taking the GO train from Milton, where we live, about 30 miles or so west of Toronto. First time I've ever been in a GO train, and I'm going down there, and I get off at the stop where we're going to meet. And it's like I was the only person that was getting off the train at that point. And it was just the masses of people that were rushing to get on. And it's like I'm trying to get out, fight through. It's like it's just me. It seems like the world is coming toward me into this train. And I got to fight my way to get out and get to where I was going. And as I was going through that process, it's like I thought about like a salmon going upstream to bear fruit. All these things and obstacles that are against you trying to do that. That's what it's like to be a Christian in this world. The world is against God and His Word. And you have fellow believers in Christ, unfortunately, that are more in line with the world as opposed to standing on sound doctrine. And that's what we've got to fight against it. You know how easy it would be for me to just like, oh, forget this. Let me just turn around and just go with the flow and go back to where I'm going. Physically, literally, it would have been easy. To fight through to get to what I'm trying to do, to have time with His guide and have fellowship with Him, It took a little bit of work. I'm telling you, we live in a day and age. It's not going to get easier. I keep on saying that every week. It's not going to get easier. It is hard. It's hard to stand on truth and sound doctrine, especially when there's so many that is just going the way of the world. And it's strange for what? You still literally believe the Word of God? You literally believe that book? It has so many contradictions in it. It was written by man. Man makes mistakes. You actually really, you're going to follow that? It's just a guide. Just some principles from it. Or actually stand literally that you believe the Word of God. It's only going to get harder. It's only going to get harder. And you got to ask yourself the question, do you have the mindset that no matter how hard it gets, you're still going to turn to the Word of God? Or are you going to be like I've seen too many times, oh, this is too hard to do, I'm just going to go with the flow. Turn away from it. The choice is all of us every day. Every day. Every day. Let's pray. Father, again, I thank You and praise You. Again, really, I think an easy message to understand what we're talking about. It's just a matter of if we're going to take it to heart or not. You have given us over and over in so many books, and we're only looking at two this year. I talk so much about sound doctrine. We've been reading through, we've read through as a group, 1 Timothy, that also emphasizes doctrine so much. So much. But we can be seeing and doing the same thing every book that You have given to the Apostle Paul to lay out to us over and over again the importance of sound doctrine. The commands that You've given us to live by the Word of God, they're not suggestions. It's not just written to for some people in the body of Christ to do. Every believer has an obligation, a responsibility, and we'll be held accountable, like we talked about last week, to what You laid out for us. You want all of us to be preaching the Word of God. You want all of us to be standing on sound doctrine. All of us, not to turn away from the truth of the Word of God, but turn to it and stand on it. That's for all of us to do. And Lord, no matter how hard it gets, you give us the ability to be able to stand on sound doctrine and to have sound speech. Truly, we are as spiritual as we want to be. We decide how much of the Word of God we're going to follow. You've given us so much in your Word. You have so much for us, and you have an incredible plan for us. Like it says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, just remembering that even this morning in my own personal devotion, it's like looking at that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor ear into the heart of man, the things that you have prepared for us, for those of us who love you. But it's through the way of the truth of the Word of God and being obedient to it. Lord, help us to be a people that we want to be sound in the faith and not to turn away our ears from the truth. Even though there's times in our life that may be difficult and maybe hard to take sometimes, we need to hear that. And we need to apply it to our life. It's like we saw a couple of weeks ago in talking about your correction. You've given the Word of God as profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that we might be what? Perfect, freely furnished unto all good works. You want to use us. And there are going to be times in our lives that we need the Word of God. We need that reproof. We need that rebuke. We need to understand how we need to have our life conform to the truth of your Word and not try to find teachers that will teach things or conform to the lifestyle that we want to live after our lust. Lord, help us to take this message to heart today and every day. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.